You guys hanging in there? Next, we're going to hear from Ciara Wallace. Dr. Wallace is newly at St. John's University. She's an associate professor in the Department of Psychology. Welcome, Ciara.
Good afternoon. Today, I'm going to present about our work developing partnerships with the community for a project that we've been funded for through the MARIA initiative. And our target population is working with young adult black men who are heterosexual with a history of incarceration. And so it's a very targeted population, so we felt it was really important to get as much input as possible as to how we were going to develop our research protocol. And as you've heard from the other presenters in MARI Round 2, we have not collected any data at the moment, but our community-based efforts have been really such a wonderful experience, and I'm really excited to be able to present to you what we've learned so far. So, as everyone else has said, there are no relationships to disclose in terms of conflicts of interest for this presentation. I can skip through these a little bit because they've already been mentioned, but black men are more likely to be in prison than white males, and we also know that incarceration is also related to higher risk of HIV/AIDS for many reasons that were presented earlier. So we really wanted to focus on that population because of that risk and decided to look at improving HIV testing in this population because it really is a critical component for prevention. If individuals know their status, they're better able to make informed decisions about decreasing their risk-taking. And then if they are positive and diagnosed, they can receive proper treatment and care. So our project, which we have termed the BEATS Project, which stands for Brothers Encouraged to Access Testing Services, the goal is really to develop gender-specific and culturally tailored materials to promote HIV testing among young black males with a history of arrest or incarceration. And our project has three phases. It's qualitative, quantitative, and then we're going to use all of those results to develop the materials and then get feedback from men in this population in terms of evaluating what we've actually developed. So as mentioned, because this is such a targeted population, we wanted to use community-based participatory research. And that really is having the community as equal partners in the process in developing the research. There are many benefits to that. For the community, they have a greater role in the development of the program, intervention, or research, and they have much more of a sense of ownership because they really are making the decisions or helping to make the decisions. And as a researcher, it's really important because they really have insight about the population and the context in which the individuals are living that we don't necessarily know about. And that also, in terms of their having the ownership, enhances the sustainability of the program because once the research funds are over, they're already very invested in the program and want to see it continue. And even if they aren't able to have funding to continue to it, because they have such a knowledge about the program or the research experience, it kind of bleeds into the work that they do. So our community partners for this particular project when we started out included Fortune Society, which is a community organization that provides previously incarcerated individuals in New York City with reentry services, and they work throughout the New York City area. And they are our main recruitment partner, but not only do they help us with recruitment, they are also very involved with reviewing all of our research protocol materials, so they have been very instrumental in that. We also partnered with the Brooklyn College Black Male Initiative Program, which is actually part of a City University of New York program to increase the number of black men who are going off to college because they are much less likely to do that. And so they've really structured a very good program there to really target what the needs are of black men. And so we thought because they have that experience, we wanted to partner with them. And Brooklyn College actually expanded their focus to look at health outreach in the community. So we really wanted to work with them to see if they could help us with that. And then lastly, we formulated or decided to have a community advisory board. And initially, because you could see we have all these phases and all this work to do, we decided that we were going to try to cut corners a little bit and utilize an existing advisory board that was part of a Brooklyn organization. So we have really experienced a lot of wonderful strengths in terms of having partnerships with community members. when we initially started out thinking about doing community partnerships, we had to talk to everybody. I mean, there are lots of people who know about our project in New York because we just spent a lot of time just yapping away, letting everyone know what we were doing and trying to find out who could we really work with, who's really interested in this. And so we really learned a lot in terms of who's out in their community doing stuff. And even if they're not part of the list that I mentioned before, they're still a part of a network. And what we do is we keep them updated on what we're doing. They share with us information in terms of what they're doing, events. Oftentimes we'll get information about readings or certain materials that might be useful for us, and we share them with one another. And so it's a really good, I think, network that we have that hopefully will come in very handy once we actually have these materials. The organizations that we're partnering with, as I mentioned, have been very instrumental. They have reviewed our research protocol, provided us with information on our recruitment strategies, and also our actual instruments. And they've been really good in telling us, you know what, you don't need to add that information, take this out, add this type of topic, and they've been also very helpful in terms of terminology. We had wanted our interview transcript to be very sort of laid back, comfortable. We didn't want the men to feel like it was a really uptight type of environment. And so we wanted to use words that were sort of more layman terms. And we decided that we were going to use the word folks, because in the Black community, folks is a term of endearment. It's really nice and comforting. But one of our community advisory board members was like, no, you will not be using the word folks because it's actually gang terminology. And we didn't realize that at the time, and that would have really been sort of like the wrong move in terms of actually, you know, doing an interview and bringing up something like that in the interview. So thankfully they did that. The other thing that was really good is that they've really had a lot of wonderful ideas, and we wanted to make sure that they understood that their voice was very important. So at our first meeting, we didn't just get right down to business. We made sure that we just kind of shoot the breeze. We got to know one another. We made sure that everyone understood who we were as people. And then just had a session where everybody was just kind of talking, venting. What do they think the issues are in the Black community? We didn't tell them it had to be about HIV or Black men. They just had a chance to talk. And eventually, of course, the topic got back to HIV and Black men. But after all of our note-taking, we realized that they had so many examples and scenarios of situations that were coming up that were related to HIV and men's risk. One of our community advisory board members also gave us the idea that, well, maybe instead of just starting the interview in the straightforward way, that we would play the song What's Going On by Marvin Gaye in the background, and that would get the men to sort of thinking a little bit about, you know, hey, yeah, maybe there is a problem, and that would make them feel a little bit more comfortable about opening up. So instead of just kind of poo-pooing that idea and saying, no, that's just not the way we do research, we kind of just let it sit. And Marcia Glasgow, who's our project director, came up with this brilliant idea of actually putting together all of this information into an audio CD that we would actually give to all of our research participants as part of the resource materials that they get. So they're going to have these scenarios that were mentioned by our CAB members with HIV very, you know, specific knowledge and facts about HIV so that we could correct any issues that they have there. And then we're going to have some songs in the middle of the audio to kind of captivate their attention, including, of course, the Marvin Gaye song with What's Going On. So we really appreciate their ideas, and I think they realize because we are including that in what we're doing and changing our protocol a little bit, they're extremely vocal. The next thing that they helped us with was with our logo. So we went to the graphic designer that we're working with, who is actually providing, also part of a group that provides education in the community. They do sort of edutainment type of work. And so we told them about our project, and he came back to us with this logo. And Marcia and I were like, we had our own ideas about what we thought about it, but we thought, let's take it to our board. And they definitely tore it to shreds. First of all, the headphones, they felt like, well, it's called the Beats Project, but you don't want to confuse people. It's really not a mix, a real mix CD or anything like that. The thing in the middle looks like a blood splot, which is not good when you're talking about HIV prevention. And then they also said, you know, just because you're working with incarcerated men, that does not mean that you have to have chains. And also, these are Black men, and so anything with chains, just stay clear away from it. So we obviously went back to the drawing board with that. And they really felt it was important to have diverse faces of black men and real black men so that they could be identified in the actual logo. So this is what we've come up with. We have three different black men there, including a health professional, which gives you a sense that this is a project about health without screaming HIV. And then it has the urban background, so because it's specifically with men in New York City. So we're very pleased with that. So our strengths, including having unconventional partners, because we had to, you know, make sure that we were working with different groups of people. And we've gained a lot of exposure just in terms of understanding about the criminal justice system and its issues. Some of the challenges were the fact that we had initially thought we were going to cut corners and use an existing cab. Unfortunately, that cab was not exactly the best cab to use because for whatever reason, it could have been the time of year, they just had a lot of poor attendance. So we weren't trying to have their cab come to separate meetings. We were just going to be an agenda item during their existing meetings, but no one ever showed up to their meetings. So we ended up having to establish our own cab, which took up a lot of time. And we were real nervous with CDC, you know, we don't know if they're going to be down our back about this, but thankfully that wasn't the case. And we were very lucky. We did a lot of networking, as I mentioned before, with this project. So we were able to get a lot of contacts. Our current community advisory board exists of people who work in HIV prevention, of course, but we also have people who just work with youth in terms of in the educational system, and we also have people who are involved with the criminal justice system, including the DA's office. We have two members of the board who are also previously incarcerated. So we have a lot of, you know, like I said, diversity on that. Unfortunately, also, we had to terminate our partnership with the Black Male Initiative Program. They are doing a wonderful job in Brooklyn College with working on increasing the numbers of black men in education, but they're a really small program, and they had a lot of problems in terms of being able to provide us with any type of feedback. And so after talking with them, it became very clear that we had to terminate the partnership. And one of our CAB members let us recognize that even though this is a very challenging type of project to do, we shouldn't look at those challenges as negative because they're opportunities that have been presented to us. And thankfully, we have been able to step up to the plate. We have a wonderful CAB because of it, very involved. We feel like our project is much better because of it. And I think the community really appreciates the fact that we didn't give up. Like, we're taking the challenges on and we're going to continue to do that. Going forward, we're going to evaluate our CAB. We think it's a really good process in order to be able to figure out how are we doing, how is it working, are the community advisory board members feeling like their input is being taken into account, is some of the stuff that they're learning in our CAB meetings bleeding into their own work, are they collaborating amongst themselves because of the work that we're doing. We also decided to develop a community advisory board project that is separate from the research because a lot of times people in the community, they don't like research. It takes too long. What are you guys doing? And so this way, they can have something that they can feel a part of that's actually ongoing now, a small project that we're going to work on. And then lastly, we want to make sure our next step is once we actually do collect the data that they're involved in reviewing the transcripts and helping us with determining the surveys. Because as I mentioned before, we don't want to use folks or any other crazy words, and we don't want to misinterpret what people are saying. So they're going to be very helpful with that. I would like to thank, of course, Madeline Sutton and CDC for the funding, Lisa Boleg, who is a consultant on the project, as well as Grace Macalino, all of our CAB members who are wonderful, the Brooklyn Public Library. We've taken our effort in terms of it being community-based, participatory, very seriously, not just focused on the people who are helping us with the research. So the Brooklyn Public Library, we hold our community advisory board meetings, and they're very interested in doing HIV work, actually. So we're hoping to continue that partnership with them in other ways. Shakur's Sweet Tooth is the caterer that helps to provide us with our refreshments for our meetings, and Shakur is actually formerly incarcerated as well. So again, we're really not only just focusing on having people do things for us, we want to make sure that we're doing as much as possible to incorporate the community in all aspects of the project. And I really look forward to hearing any questions that you have. Marcia Glasgow is going to also be available to answer any specific questions that you have about how our partnership process has gone thus far. Thank you.
Thank you, Ciara. That was excellent. Okay, last but not least, as Dr. Jose comes to the podium, I just want to make sure that I